I think you'll be able to tell pretty quickly that I'm not Paul. So, but appreciate Paul teaching. He'd been teaching for most of the year, and so I thought it'd be good to give him a break and from teaching, and we'll continue on. Appreciate very much Paul's teaching, and we're going to continue on studying in Luke. We're in chapter 10 of Luke, and we'll begin there just a minute. I've asked Chris if he would offer a prayer for as we begin the class, and also Brother Jack will have the microphone if you have comments, and I hope you do. Brother Jack will get the microphone to you for that. So, Chris, if you would, when you're ready there.
Kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this day for the ability to come together to raise prayers, thanksgiving, and praise to you. As we look into your word this morning, please give us wisdom that we may decipher the lessons within. May our comments and questions be for Brother Bill, be insightful and help bring us to understanding, bringing us closer to you. And we thank you this day for all the blessings we have, from the beauty of the day to our health, to the ability alone to look into your word. And all this we pray in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Last Lord's Day, we got down to about verse 13, I think, as best I recall. And this is in chapter 10 of Luke. And we'll begin there just by brief review of the first 13 verses there, first 12 verses. This is the account of Jesus sending out the 70 disciples to go out two by two into the cities and towns that Jesus is going to visit. He's on his way to Jerusalem. And he gave them much the same instructions that he gave the 12 when they were sent out back in chapter 9. These 70 appear to not have been as closely associated with Jesus as the 12, but they were nevertheless disciples of Jesus. And he sends them out, and he tells them this is a serious mission you're going out on. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So take that into account as you're going out. You're being called by Jesus, by God, to go out and to labor in the harvest, to preach as you have opportunity to save souls. You're going out as lambs among wolves. This will not be pleasant sometimes as you're traveling about, but go on your way for this work. Some will receive you, some will not. You'll be able to tell by the way they greet you, the message that they give you as you go into their houses. And some will reject you, and don't be surprised at this. This is the way it's going to be. If they do accept you, then take their hospitality, heal the sick, tell them the kingdom of God is to come near to you, or it is near. Those that reject you, we say to them, shake off the dust of your feet, which was a symbol of their rejection of them. And nevertheless, even though they reject, be sure you give them the message that the kingdom of God is near to you. Because of their rejection, he says that it'll be more tolerable for Sodom in that day, in the day of judgment, than for the cities that reject you, because these people are rejecting the message of the Son of God. So, and that's kind of where we got to. And as we begin here, if you have any further comments on these first 12 verses, well, we'd let you do that at this time. Okay, beginning in verse 13, we'll read through verse 16. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. He who hears and hears you hears me. He who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects him who sent me. So Jesus may be thinking about the cities that were going to reject the message that was going to be proclaimed by the 70. He remembers three cities that were all fairly close to each other there. Chorazin was just a little north and west of the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida was the home of Peter, located on the sea, and Capernaum, also located on the seacoast of Galilee. All within a few miles of each other, and no doubt had seen many of the mighty works of Jesus in their cities. Matthew 11, 20 and 21 says that most of the mighty works of Jesus were done in this area. So works were done other places, but a lot of his mighty works, his healing and casting out demons and the work that he was doing, most of those were done around this area. And he says, if these works were done in Tyre and Sidon, which were towns on the seacoast of the Mediterranean Sea, if they were done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. You have not, but they would have. Jesus said it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for them, because they have rejected the Son of God. They have been witness to many of the mighty works that he did were around this area. They had plenty of opportunity to see and to believe the works that Jesus was doing. And yet, for the most part, they rejected the message. And I think we can say that with greater privileges, which these cities had, they had a greater opportunity to see the works of Jesus and the things that he was saying and doing. And with that comes greater responsibility. If you have more opportunity to hear the word of God and you reject it, then Jesus says it'll be more tolerable for those that had opportunity to see the mighty works of Jesus that he was doing and rejected them. Then greater condemnation is waiting on you if that is the case. Verse 16, he ties it all together as far as his mission and how he was sent, and for the disciples and the apostles as well. He who hears you hears me, speaking to the disciples. If they hear you, they are hearing me, because I have given you the message and I have sent you out. If they reject you, they are rejecting me, because I have sent you out and you have the message from me. So if they reject you, they're rejecting me. He who rejects me rejects him that sent me. And that would be, of course, the Father in heaven that sent Jesus for this work. So it's something that they should consider, and the disciples would consider as they go about preaching the word, and as they are further given the call to proclaim the gospel of Christ after he dies and after he is resurrected. The 12 are going to be sent out. We know this from Acts, the first chapter, that Jesus said, go into all the world, start with Judea, Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is something that Jesus wanted them to know. I don't know if he was around this area when he said this, so that they would hear this woe pronounced on them, or if this is primarily for the disciples. It does not appear that he was around this area, but I don't really know, I guess, at this point, if they were heard this message that he said about these cities. So what are your comments? We'll stop right there for your comments if you have some about these verses.
I think we can see a few things here, that there is a will be a consciousness in Hades or in hell by what he is saying here, be more tolerable. I think a couple ways we could look at that. Well, is there a harsher punishment for them? Or is it the same punishment, but because they reject it, it's going to be tormenting for them? And I think it's probably the latter.
Very good. Thank you. I don't know how this more tolerable was going to be carried out unless it was the grace of God was going to be extended more to some than to others in the judgment. I don't know. Otherwise, I'm not sure. Ed?
Verse 16 is a very important verse, I think, for our time especially, because I can't tell you how many people that I've talked to that have said, well, the writings of Paul are just his thoughts and his message for that day. But Jesus here is very plainly saying that if you reject that message, you're rejecting me and you're rejecting God the Father. And that's very serious. And I think it should make us approach the Word of God with wisdom and prayerful, pray for understanding and discipline to follow it. Because if we know this stuff and we reject it, it is going to be very intolerable for us eternally.
It is. It's a serious thing. And he puts this right at the end of the things that he said about these three cities and the woe that was pronounced upon them. A woe means, I wasn't sure exactly what what woe meant. I had a pretty good idea in my mind, but I didn't know for sure exactly. But it's a calamity or destruction or something like that. Tribulation is going to come upon these cities. That's the woe. Not sure how this all came about. We know many of these cities were destroyed and were never rebuilt. They never recovered from the destruction. Some of them did, but many of them did not. And you can go back and look at the history of some of these cities and see that happened. And so this was something that's coming to them, a calamity, destruction, tribulation was going to. And even though they were exalted, he says, Capernaum, I think Jesus, after he left Nazareth, if I understand, he spent a great deal of time in Capernaum and in and around Capernaum. Many of his mighty works were done in that area. Okay, thank you. Jack.
Bill, is it true that the 12 were sent out from Jerusalem when they were originally sent out, and perhaps these 70 were sent out throughout Galilee? If that's the case, then that would get an indication that the word was not restricted to one locality, but was spread throughout all of Israel.
Yeah, it was not. If people did not hear it was not and accept, it was not because it was not proclaimed. Jesus, we can track his travels and hear the 70 and also the disciples, and we can see that he traveled throughout the land there, Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, on the other side of the Jordan. And so there was ample opportunity for people to hear and accept. And it would be sad for the ones that did not accept it. To be sad. Any other comments? Thank you very much. Ed.
Well, I know if you look at the Old Testament, it was out of the land of Zebulun, these northern parts, that the word would, the light would shine and come from there. So and that's where a lot of the preaching, a lot of the mighty works were done in those lands. To the north.
Yep. Very good. Thank you. It says the light has gone out to the Gentiles. Very good. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you very much. Let us go on and look at, consider verses 17 through 20. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So, after Jesus had pronounced the woes on these three cities, the 70 have returned now. We're not told how long they were gone, as far as I know. But they had been out for some time and preaching and visiting these cities that Jesus was going into. And it says they returned with joy. So they had a good feeling about this. They were joyful. And the ones that had accepted their message. We know that some didn't, but they were joyful that some had accepted the message. And they had been able to confirm the message because Jesus had given them the ability to heal the sick and to cast out devils. And we know that the miracles were done to confirm the message that was being preached. This helped to have people to understand this is a message from God because of the miracles that they were able to do. But they took no glory to themselves in that they were able to do this. And they said to Christ, we did this in your name and by your power. This is not anything that we were able to do within ourselves, but this is all to your honor and glory that these things have come about, that we've preached the gospel and that some have accepted. Jesus, in response to this, tells them a couple of other things that they're now that they're back. He says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And he also tells them that from this day forward, they will be protected from poisonous snakes and from poisonous scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy, which is, we know, Satan. And he said, nothing will be able to harm you. So as you, I think he is indicating here that they are to continue the preaching that they have done so far, but their work is not done. They should continue this work, and they will be protected from harm that might come to them from poisonous snakes or scorpions or other things, and all the power of the enemy. And that's quite something to say to them, that they're going to be protected from all the power of Satan. And we know the power of Satan is quite extensive, but he gives them that assurance that they're going to be protected. Nothing will be able to harm you. But he says, this is a great gift that we gave to you. But even as great as these gifts and powers were, something is greater is waiting for you. There is something that will be even greater than that, and that is that your names are written in heaven. This was something that they had to look forward to, that their names were going to be written in heaven. We know from over in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and also 21:27, it speaks about names that were written in the book of life. And he says, rejoice in this. Rejoice also that the message and the gospel is received. But also rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Rejoice in things that are eternal, that are coming for you, and not in things on this earth that will pass. The powers and everything that you've been given are going to pass with your passing, but that your names are written in heaven will not pass. they are eternal. So we'll pause again there for your comments on verses 17 through 20. Paul.
In verse 19, I don't have any doubts that serpents and scorpions literally wouldn't bother them, but I think also another meaning of that can be that that is a description in other places of the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think we could take it as that because they were not only fighting Satan, they were fighting the religious leaders at the time. As far as verse 18, well, you could say an awful lot about that. There's a lot written about that. But I think one thing we might take from that is that wherever the gospel is preached and is accepted and believed, Satan falls.
Very good. Yep. I think one reason he says that maybe is to that he saw Satan fall like lightning is to show that he was there and he has the power over Satan. If he was there for Satan to be cast out of heaven and was there at the same time as Satan was cast down, then he does have the power over Satan to give them that power as well.
Bill,
thank you. Jack.
The message we need to remember is that was just a update of John's message. John's message was, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. And now the 70 were saying, the kingdom of God is near. It's here.
Yeah.
Be ready. Repent. That repentance is really the key to the message, because if the kingdom was there for them and they didn't repent, then we've got the problem that he illustrated.
Very good, thank you. Any others? These verses, as you know, we could talk about these for a long time, and we don't want to cut it off if you have something else you'd like to say about these. For sure. If not, we'll go on to the next group of verses, which is 21 through 24. Feel free to go back if something occurs to you on any of these verses as we go along. Verse 21, and in that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. These verses are quite something that we can look at here. Even though Jesus was the Son of God, he rejoiced and gives thanks to the Father, to God, the Lord of heaven and earth, Jesus says, Lord God, and for his many wondrous works. And certainly, Jesus was witness to many of the wondrous works of Jesus, not only now while he's on earth, but before he came to earth. He was there at the creation. So he was witness from the very beginning of the wondrous works of God. And he rejoices in that and gives thanks to the Heavenly Father for all of the works that he had done. Jesus never quit wondering about this, the things that God had done and that he had been witness to. He gives thanks for that. about the message and who it was given to, we know that the forerunner, John, who was sent to prepare the way, was a humble and common man. He was not born to a lot of riches or anything, and he was a common man living in the wilderness. Jesus' beginnings were humble. They did not come with a lot of pomp and circumstance, we might say. And the revealing of God's plan and the gospel was not to be for the wise of the world. Not that the wise of the world could not receive the message and accept it and understand it, but it was not to be given to them to proclaim it in the beginning. The Jewish leaders of the day, the rabbis, the lawyers, the scribes, or later on the Greek philosophers, it was hidden from them. It was not entrusted to them in the beginning to make it known, but it was given to common men, the apostles, John the forerunner. They were all common men, and the message was given to them to proclaim in the beginning. It has been revealed to babes, I think representative of a common man, unlearned in the ways of the wise of the world, so to speak, not men of the ruling class. And this plan seemed good in God's eyes. And we can see as this progresses, it was good and it was wise in the eyes of God. They were not going to be the leaders of the day. Excuse me. We're not going to be given initially the opportunity to proclaim God's plan. And I think we can see as we go along, that this was a wise plan that God had, thinking that the wise of the world were more likely to want to take God's plan and make it their plan. And we see that as the plan was revealed and down through the years, began very soon with the Judaizing teachers. They wanted to take God's plan of salvation and they wanted to keep the law and force people to keep the law even so. So the Jewish leaders of the day did not accept the pure plan of God of salvation, but they wanted to add their take on it to keep some of the power that they had at that time. And then later on, as it progressed down through the early ages of the church began to apostatize very quickly. They began to drift away from the original plan as it was given by God. So I think that's one of the reasons that he says this, that it was not given to the rulers of the day because they would not accept it as his plan without wanting to add to it, take it over, make it their own. And we see that this did happen very soon after the plan was revealed and the church was established. verse 22 shows the very close relationship, and Jesus has already talked about this, of Jesus and the Father. All things has been delivered to Jesus by the Father. There was nothing that Jesus needed to know that he did not know from the Father. If he needed to know something about what his role was, what God's plan was, it was revealed to him. He knew everything that he needed to know. There was no separation between he and God. It was not like God had one plan, Jesus had another plan, and hope everything was going to work out. There was no separation between God's plan and Jesus carrying out that plan and knowing what that plan is. He goes on to say that only the Father knows who the Son is, and only the Son knows who the Father is. There is complete understanding between them, the two of them, God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. That understanding will only be shared by the Son, he says, in his own way and in his own time. That revealing was already underway, of course, Jesus in his coming and preaching the gospel. had already begun to reveal God's plan and would continue on through the fulfilling of God's plan of redemption, the plan that was set in motion or known before the foundation of the world. Jesus continued teaching his death, burial, and resurrection, the unlocking of the kingdom on the day of Pentecost, the establishing of the church, the Holy Spirit guiding the apostles, and the teaching and doctrine that was to be followed from now on. And this plan and revealing had already begun and would continue on. Jesus tells his disciples how blessed they are to know these things and to see these things and to hear these things that kings had desired and prophets, many of them, desired to know what was coming, but they were not able to see it. They were not able to hear it. And Jesus, I think, is saying, take it to heart. You're blessed truly to be a part of this, to live in this time and see the things that are coming to pass. Do not let this pass by without understanding how great a blessing this is that you have. There's a passage over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. It kind of says the same thing, that the things that were revealed to them had not been revealed to the prophets or to kings or to angels that desired to know what this plan was going to be. Your comments.
I really didn't do too much justice to that verse I was referring to in the Old Testament, but it's in Isaiah 9 in the first few verses. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way by the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has the light shone. And this is, so when Jesus said, you know, you're blessed to see and hear the things that you're hearing, that was a prophetic word spoken 600 years. And it was in this very place, at this very time, that these things were happening. And we're blessed by it still to this day, by that great light that was shown to lost people like us.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
I certainly agree with what you said in verse 21 about these things being hidden from the wise and prudent. Jesus had a very short amount of time to do his mission here on earth. Over in Matthew, he said, along the way, don't stop and salute one another, because those things usually took about an hour. And I think Jesus knew that it'd probably be a waste of time to try and convince these the wise and the prudent, who were wise in their own eyes. And he took the message where it would be most likely to be received. And so I think we see with these 70, if we look at John the Baptist, he was preparing the way. He was in a specific location. He sent these 70 out to prepare the way so that when he did arrive, they would be able to see him, and he would be able to confirm what these men were speaking about. And so we have, again, the two witness here. So I think this, and on the verse 22, the all things have been delivered to me, he's equating himself to these people with God, and he wasn't ashamed to do it.
Very good, thank you. As you were talking, I was thinking about what Paul had to say about the wise and the foolish over in 1 Corinthians. I'm not sure I can find the verse right now, but it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. We preach Christ crucified, the Jews a stumbling block, the Greeks foolishness. But those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So many of these who were considered the wise of the day were not going to accept this message because of that. They were the wise of the day. Ed has a comment. They were the wise of the day, and they would not accept it.
I think one of the things about those kind of people who are wise in their own eyes and full of all understanding is that they're unteachable. They're so blinded by their own self that they're unwilling to accept or learn anything else. And, you know, I've had in the workplace people that come in knowing nothing. And if they receive instruction and learn how to do things, they can turn into a profitable worker. But someone that comes in that already thinks they know the work and they don't listen to anything, they're worthless, really.
Yeah.
And they never do learn.
Very good, thank you. And many of them, the wise of that day, never did accept, and they eventually, in their wisdom, crucified the Son of God. Very good, thank you for your comments. Appreciate it. Wow, clock says it's time. Okay, we'll, Lord willing, pick up with verse 25 next Lord's Day, verse 25, chapter 10. Thank you.